Well, praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Appreciate the goodness of the Lord and good spirit of God that we sense right here. And my, what a wonderful time of year to be together and to lift up the name of Jesus. And I sure appreciate the goodness the Lord shown to our family. And I know that He's been good to you as well this year. Amen. We've enjoyed our time here with you in Ohio. We always do. Appreciated a Christmas cantata this past Sunday night. And my, didn't they do a wonderful job, church? Really did. And of course, the Sunday morning message. And I just, my heart was just so stirred thinking again of how the richness of the wise men, the how they're politically connected. I mean, they're able to hold a court with kings and talk to them. And people of affluence and people of well means. And yet they still need a Savior, don't they? And all the way on the other side, the lowly shepherd. Those no names, those outcasts, those down and outs. And yet there's still a Savior willing to touch their lives as well. I told Brother Hurst, within my heart, I was just reminded of the Proverb 22:2 where it said, "The rich and the poor, they meet together. The Lord is maker of them all." Amen. And some people would say, "Well, Brother Estes, now we know the wise men weren't there the same night as the shepherd man." No, 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 you're missing the point. The Lord is maker of them all. What do they have in common is that they met with the Savior. Amen. No matter where you go, no matter who you come across, I don't care if they're from the poorest tribe in India, Africa, whatever. If they're saved and you know Christ, you have something in common with them. Amen. You could sit across the table from a dignitary. You may not know exactly what to say, but if he's a born-again man, you have something to talk about. Amen. Oh, I love the Lord tonight. I do appreciate God. Do pray for us as we get back on that road, Lord willing, early tomorrow morning. We tried to bring up a little bit of warmer weather with us, but we got to head out tomorrow, so you're on your own from here on out. I can't make any promises for the next 2 to 3 months. Amen. But do pray for us on that road and the traveling mercies that we will need. And just the mercy of God to be upon our hearts as we just endeavor to do the will of the Lord. Amen. Turn with us, please, to Isaiah chapter number 50. And while you're turning there to Isaiah chapter 50, I do want to say thank you to your pastor for inviting us to preach tonight. And I appreciate your willingness to give and the offerings that just God's work could go forward. Amen. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 10. My wife, she knows I'm not supposed to say this, but and it's probably true, whenever you feel like you won't be up here long, it's usually the longest time. But I don't think I'll be long tonight. Oh, who can tell which way that'll go, huh? You know, this is a wonderful season. It's a glorious season for many, but it's still a gray season for many as well. And in all of the good times that we have, I can assure you one thing. There's not a pew here tonight that somebody doesn't have a problem somewhere in their life that they're facing something. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10 and verse 11. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire, and the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Very interesting scriptures. But he says, who among you is them that obeys God, that's walking with God, and still finds himself in darkness? Ever been there? Let me preach to us for just a little while tonight. And, you know, most of the time I try to make them alliterated. And sorry, that's not going to happen tonight. I hate to let you down. But just a few comments and a few words, and I'm going to step out of the way. But I just want to preach to us for a few moments on hidden treasures for hurting children. Hidden treasures for hurting children. Let's slip up our hands to heaven one more time and let's believe God in this house. Can we lift up our hearts to heaven as well and pray? Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for being a good God and a God that cares. And I'm glad to know that you know right where we are and right what we're facing. And I pray that you would touch us tonight, that God's word would just have free course in this house. The word of God would go forward and it would not return void. And I thank you for it all, and I give God the praise and the glory. In Jesus' holy name we do pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Smile at somebody as you're being seated. Go so far as to shake their hand and tell them I'm glad to see you here. I hope you mean it. You can shake her hand, brother. It's all right. That's legal. Amen. Beloved, hear me this evening. Sometimes, you know, we just can't quite see all the way down at the end of the road and what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or maybe the next month or maybe even the next year. And sometimes things just don't quite make sense like we would like for them to make sense. Sometimes it can be a broken relationship, a wayward child, or a list could go on and on. You know, we listen to our preaching and we memorize our little formulas and we quote our perfect little scriptures. And even when we do that, still sometimes things just don't quite make sense. Can you say amen? Even after all that we do, after all that we've been through, after all that we can quote, after all that we know, after all the sermons that we can hear time and again, things don't always add up like we would like for them to add up. Sometimes we're plunged into a place, if you will, where things simply just don't quite make sense. And just about the time we think we have it all figured out, something else twists and turns and we're right back at square one again, friend. Hear me, friends. Sometimes God allows us to go through seasons of darkness. God ordained darkness inside of our life. We have accepted a theology that once we're saved, I mean, everything's supposed to make perfect sense and we're never supposed to see any more gray days and everything's just supposed to be happy-go-lucky. But that's not how God's word works, amen. That's not how reality really is. Sometimes we just don't know why. Sometimes God has to bring us to that place where it's not so much the important question is why, but how. How, God, do you want me to respond to this? How, God, would you want me to act now that I find myself in a place where things just aren't quite making sense? How, Lord, should I respond in light of the fact that there's very little light on this subject? Beloved, hear me this evening. It's a mark of maturity in your life when the question moves from simply why to how. Friend, it's a mark that reveals a character trait about your life. Somebody said, well, you know, heroes are made in the ring. I don't believe that. They're revealed in the ring. But it's what happens before they get in that ring that's going to determine who the real champion is. Well, friend, hear me. When it comes to really walking with God, it's not so much, well, that's made when you go through dark valleys. No, that's not necessarily the case. But it's revealed through those deep valleys. What you were before you ever got into that valley, Brother Dale, will show up after you already are in that valley. What you put inside of your heart, what you placed inside of your life, what you've allowed yourself to see, what you've allowed yourself to hear, what you fed your spirit, all has a way of manifesting when it seemed like the lights go out. That doesn't make the man. That doesn't make the Christian. It just reveals the person. It just reveals that Christian. Somebody said, well, why did they fall out by the wayside whenever troubles came? I tell you why they fell out by the wayside. Because whenever it was smooth sailing, they never gave God any material to work with. They never gave the Lord any time in their life. They never gave God the raw materials of their heart, that when that trial came, they could look back and say, I have invested my heart with God, and God will see me through this. Amen. Just a few comments tonight, and I'll move out of the way. Hear me. Brother Estes, do hurting times and dark times come to children of God? You better believe it. First thought I want to give us tonight, simply this.
Sometimes those of the greatest devotion can find the deepest darkness. Sometimes those that are truly wanting to walk with God can find themselves in a place where they shake their head and can't make heads from tails. Look at what verse 10 says for me tonight, please, right there in Isaiah chapter 50. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Who is among you that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? He is not speaking to a backslider. He's not speaking to somebody that's in and out. He's not referring to someone that's up and down. He's talking about someone that walks with God. Who is he that walks with God? Who's him that fears the voice of God, that obeys the voice of God? Who is this one that is doing everything that they can with all that the strength that they have to endeavor to live a Christ-centered life, and they still find themselves in darkness? Sometimes those of the greatest devotion can find themselves in the deepest of darkness. There is no fine print in this contract. Sometimes those that walk with God the greatest can be the most perplexed. Job says, he hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path, Job 19 and 8. Habakkuk 1 and 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? He says, O God, I have stained heaven with my tears. God, I am trying to walk with you. I am trying to hear from you. Oh God, why is it such a dark place? Friend, your commitment to God has nothing to do with whether or not you'll find yourself in a dark valley time and again. Just because you make up your mind to walk with God has nothing to do with whether or not it's going to be a sunshiny day or it's not going to be a sunshiny day. I've seen people that have absolutely consecrated everything to God, and as soon as they did, their world turned upside down. I literally had a man tell me one time, perhaps I've shared it here before. He said, Brother Estes, my wife is going in tomorrow. They're going to do the test and determine whether or not the cancer has come back. He said, you better pray, preacher, because if that cancer has come back, he said, I'm liable to do a 180 on God. In other words, a complete turnaround and walk away from God. I shook my head and thought to myself, that's not the time you walk away from God. That's the time you run to God even greater. That's the time you make up your mind even more. And no matter what comes my way, I didn't get in this thing just for the blessing. I didn't get in this thing just to see what I can get out of it. God gave me his son. He forgave me of my sin. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if he never blesses me again, he's still worthy of the praise. Amen. Paul said, we are perplexed. It's a very complicated Greek term. It means I ain't got a clue. Even Paul with his visions, Paul with being called up to the third heaven, Paul with his scholastic abilities, Paul with his writing abilities, shakes his head and says, man, I have seen a lot of things in my life, but this is the one thing I cannot get a grip on. This is the one thing I cannot figure out. This is the one thing I just can't understand. Why can God allow this to happen? Why is God allowing it to happen? Why doesn't God stop it in the process? Why did God let it go this far? Why? He is perplexed. Have you ever been at a place with God where you just couldn't figure it out? Look at me right here, church. It doesn't mean you backslid. It doesn't mean you're cold. It doesn't mean you've walked away from God. It may just mean you're drawing closer to his name. Friend, hear me tonight. The faith that is born in the light is often developed in the darkness. Most of the time when God begins to speak to your life, and you've been there where God just came down, and oh, it was just a wonderful handful of honey, as the preacher said in Alabama. And oh, what a glorious time that it was, and what a marvelous light was shined into your own soul. But friend, hear me. When God speaks that and you feel that light burning inside of your spirit, there is a time between the time that God speaks it to the time that God performs it, and many times the time in between is a very dark time. It's developed in that darkness. But Lord, you spoke it to me. That don't mean I won't be going through some dark times until it comes to pass. Friend, hear me. How does God develop our faith? Easy. Through hard times. Now, just be real honest with me. You don't have to answer openly, but do answer honestly. When did you really grow the most with God? Was it when everything was smooth? Was it when everything was wonderful? Was it when you had to look up to see bottom? The psalmist said, Lord, you enlarged me when I was in distress. Psalms 4 and 1. In other words, the psalmist said, when I found myself in that strain, when I found things getting very tight, that's when God came down and said, I'm going to make you a larger person. I'm going to make you a bigger person in me. I'm going to stretch you so that you can see it the way that I see it, and that you can understand it from my perspective. We grow not in the day, but we grow in the valley. We don't just grow because the sunshine hits our faces. We grow because we live through the night. We wake up on the other side and we haven't grown bitter and we haven't backslid with God. We grow with God because we live through battles. What does he say? Let him trust in the Lord. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. What am I to do when I find myself here? What does God's word say? Trust in the Lord, stay upon his name. Trust in his name, stay upon the Lord. If I were to alliterate that, I would say, number one, look unto God. And number two, lean on God. What am I supposed to do when I turn around and you say, wait a second, I'm walking with you, Lord. I've committed things to you. I'm trying to do your will. And now I'm here. What does God's word say? God's word says you keep looking at him and you keep leaning on him. That's what you're supposed to do in these times. You keep looking unto God and you keep leaning on God. Friend, hear me. We don't have to have explanations for everybody. Problem that we come across. We don't live by explanations. We live by promises. You say, Brother Estes, that's juvenile. No, sir, no, ma'am. I'd rather have a promise from God than any explanation from a doctor or a scientist. You've been there before where heartaches hit your home. Let me tell you, you didn't need somebody to come by and give you a scientific definition of why you're going through the trial. What you really just needed was one more touch from God, one more time where his hand came down upon you and promised to you and renewed you and revived your spirit because you heard his promise. When you go through a heartache, when you go through a trial, the last thing you need is somebody to come up to you and say, well, now let me tell you every reason you're going through this. Sometimes what you just need is to feel the compassion of somebody to come up to you and say, I care about you. And we still love you. And we're thinking about you. And it does matter to us if you're going through a hard time. And it does matter to us if you feel like you're all alone. Because you're not. We speak about Job's trial. We speak about his three friends. We send them up the road, and I'm not saying they did everything right, but if you go back and read that story, for the first 7 days, all they did was just sit down beside the man. They never said a word. They never tried to give him a piece of advice. Sometimes people don't need your words as much as they just need your warmth. Just be there. Just stand beside them. Just grieve alongside them. Just walk in that valley with them. You don't have to have an explanation, but say, "Oh God, would you speak to them one more time? Would you just give them a promise that you haven't left them, that you haven't forsaken them, that you'll go with them to the end?" You look to God. You lean on God and stay upon his God. That word "stay" is that same word, that type of the word used there in Psalms 23, where it speaks about "thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." That staff was something that they could stay upon. It was something they could lean upon. And when he writes to stay upon God, it's literally saying you just throw your weight on God's shoulder and say, "I'm tired of trying to act big enough and self-sufficient enough. Oh God, I've got to lean on you. I've got to lean on God." Friend, hear me. It's better to be in a dark valley leaning on God than in a sun-litten peak without his presence. Sometimes God, I've said before, removes all those whys so we can see who. When answers aren't enough, when explanations aren't enough, God lets you go through those dark times so you can see him again. It's amazing when you read that Psalms 23. He speaks about God and he's giving praise unto God. He's talking about how "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me over here. He leads me by still waters. He leads me by these green pastures." And all of a sudden we get around to verse number 4. And it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Did you catch that little change? Did you catch the difference that the psalmist made? No longer is he saying he does this. No longer is he saying he does this. He says, "You do this." That valley brought that man from talking about God to talking to God. Do you see the difference? Sometimes the valley brings you to the place where now you speak directly to him and you commune with him like you never have before. "He leads me here. Lord, now that I'm in the valley, I'm not just talking about you, Lord. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Lord, you are with me." Job said, "You've sent darkness into my path." God brought him to the place where he said, "Though you slay me, yet will I trust you." Listen to Brother Estes tonight. I'm talking to somebody in this house. It's a very difficult place to come in your walk with God, but you've got to reach a place where you say, "Oh God, I value my relationship with you more than I do a reason from you. Oh God, I value my relationship with you more than I do a reason from you." I've seen people backslide because they were upset because God didn't give them a reason why something happened in their life. Why did God allow that? Why did God allow that? And God, if you don't tell me, I'll go over here. God, you better speak to me or it's over for you. I'll cut you off. No, sir, hear me. You don't ever want to get to that place. There's things, Brother Dale, I don't understand. But dear Lord, if it's going to affect my relationship with God, Lord, you don't have to tell me a word. You don't have to explain anything to me, because I'd rather know that my relationship was right with you. I'd rather know that I was open with you and you were open with me. I may not understand, but I just want to know you're beside me still. And the elderly lady, I remember our pastor, Brother McDonald in Mississippi, was telling us one evening, said there was a lady in his church of years gone by, and she had a son, and he was a very wicked young man. And they found that young man at the bottom of a pool at a party after it was all said and done. They'd been drinking and drugs and all sorts of things, and that young man had died. And said she got down and began to pray. And she said, "Lord, you've got to tell me. Did he make it, God? You've just got to tell me, did he make it? Lord, speak to me, did he make it?" She said, the Spirit of the Lord said back to her, "If I tell you, are you still going to serve me?" She said, "Lord, don't say another word. I don't have to know." Hey, listen to me. Sometimes God doesn't tell us because he knows what's best. Sometimes God keeps us in that darkness because he loves me enough not to tell me. Oh, Father, don't ever let me put my reason above my relationship with God. A few more comments and I'll close. Some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. Isaiah 50 and verse number 3, in fact verses 3 and 4, you can read there with me. "I clothe the heavens with blackness," God said. "I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned." God says there's going to be a day that you wake up and turn around and say, "It was God that let me walk through that valley, but because I lived through it, I now have the tongue of the learned. I can see things like I couldn't see them before. I know how to respond to people better. I know how to minister better because I've had to live through what they're going through." And if you've never lived through what they're going through, you really don't know how to connect with them like somebody who has. I don't believe there's a person in this house tonight. I hope I'm not boring you. I don't believe there's a person in this house tonight that would ever purposely want trials, heartaches, dark times to come into their life. But can I tell you, friend, it's through those that you learn how to speak a word fitly spoken. Brother Kelvin, by nature, I've never been a weeper. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some folks, that's fine. I'm not against it. I never was. But I got concerned about that. I said, "Lord, I don't want to have a hard heart. I don't want to." Friend, can I tell you? Events started happening. And man, I mean, my heart just really got to see how fragile life is. 2 years ago in a week, I held a 2-pound, 6-ounce baby girl in my hands. Skin so thin I could see through. There's no, that subcutaneous layer of fat doesn't come to that third trimester. So every little move that little precious girl would make, I could see those muscle fibers moving. And I'm standing there, and I'm having that doctor tell me, "Now don't ever expect her to do this. Don't ever expect her to be able to do this. Don't you ever get your hopes up being able to do this. And you got a wife that's there. And you know, pal, that's not what I need to hear right now." But from that, Brad, from that, I'm telling you, if I'm ever around somebody that has to go through that, I just feel different. I just see it different. I can just connect with them in a way that I never could before. Oh, would you ever want it to happen again? Not for your life, pal. Not for anything. But sometimes God allows trials in your life so you can connect with people for his will. close, Brother Zane. Okay, I'll try. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. He said, because I allow those dark times to come into your life, I give you treasures out of them, that people may know that I am the living God. Have you ever heard people say before? They say, oh boy, those stars sure are out tonight. Have you ever said that yourself? Well, can I tell you something, friend? Those stars are just as bright at 2 o'clock in the afternoon as they are at 12 o'clock midnight. It just takes a little darkness to see them. And there's some things, get me here, listen, you just can't see till you walk through some dark times. There's some things you just can't see until you find yourself in that dark place. Boy, those stars sure are beautiful tonight. They're just as beautiful at 3 o'clock p.m. It's just too bright to notice them. You know, we do a good job. We always judge ourselves within context. We always judge others out of context. What do you mean by that? We always judge ourselves by intentions. We're very quick to judge others by their actions. Now, when moi does something wrong, well, you have to understand the surroundings. You don't understand the stress that I was under that one day. You don't know how everybody was going 48 miles an hour on the interstate that morning. Say amen. But now when they do it, we pull out the blade, don't we? And we're very, very quick to say, look at their action. Well, wait a second. Wait a second. Maybe you ought to judge them in context like you want people to judge you in context. Move on, son. One man said it like this. I wasn't smart enough to think this up. I was smart enough to write this down. He said, in the light, we see that which is near. In the darkness, we're able to see that which is far away. In the light, we may see more clearly, but in the night, we see further. You may think your brightest thoughts in the daytime, but you will think your deepest thoughts in the dark time. Oh, how true. Fourth statement. It is better, I believe, to lean on God in the darkness than stand alone in your man-made light. Look at verse number 11, chapter 50, verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, what walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have a mine hand. Ye shall lie down in darkness. One of the greatest temptations that you will ever face in your life is trying to get out of the darkness before God's ready for you to. We, by nature, don't want to stay there. We don't like it there. So we do all that we can to get our own selves out of it, and most of the time we just make a mess of thing in the process. He says, go ahead, strike a match, light a candle, do it yourself, make a spark yourself, but you're going to look back and lay down in sorrow because you didn't do it through my timing. Ouch. You know, you could go out to a sundial in the middle of the night, shine your flashlight on it and go, it's 2 o'clock. No, no, it's 4. No, it's 3. No way. All depends on which way you're holding that flashlight. Now, you got light on it, but you're getting a false reading. And God says, you go ahead, make a spark, do that. But that's not my will for you. My will is you're just going to have to live through some things until I'm ready for you to come out of it. Young people, hear me. Young people, just take a moment here, Brother Zane. I believe the number one reason for all regret, sorrow, heartache, pain within our young people is they trade what they really want most
for what they want right now. And God says, listen, I'm just not ready for it yet. It'll come. It'll come. You just wait on me. You just stay in my will. Where Brother Estes said, dark. God says, you stay in my darkness with my hand upon you. Then try to spark yourself out of this thing. Turn around and look and say, God, where am I at now? How did I get here, Lord? Oh, there may be fires jumping all around me. But friend, if it's not a God, it's going to burn you one day. Say amen. If that's not a God, you'd rather stay in the darkness. You'd rather have to look up and see bottom and say, God, I'm glad you're with me. And I'm not taking shortcuts trying to get out of your will. Friend, man. Made fire is very deceptive. Abraham, here's a promise. You're going to have a child. Well, let me see, God, if I can help you with this. Ishmael, fast forward a few thousand years, we've still got problems. Moses, God's called you to be a missionary. Hallelujah. What should I do, God? Which one of them should I take out? You're no longer a missionary, Moses. You're a murderer. Yeah, God's got a plan for you, but you keep jumping ahead of him so much and you're messing it up. Friend, hear me. I don't know who or why or how long, but you're in this house tonight and you've been walking through a dark place. Wait on God. Lean on the Lord and look to the Lord. He will bring you out. Last statement I close. Hallelujah. The Lord God hath given me the tongue to learn. Verse 4. I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Last statement I want you to take home in your heart tonight. If the sun has set in your life, I promise you, if you walk with God, your sun will rise again. Oh, he waketh morning by morning. And God has a way of turning every hurt into a hallelujah, and every tear into a pearl, and every Calvary into an Easter, and every dark time into a glorious time where God teaches you what he could never teach you. Now the other, any other circumstance. Someone help me on the piano. Psalms 112 and verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous, for his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night. Somebody say it with me. But joy cometh. That's right. One of these days, God's going to pull back that black veil. Light comes forth. And you say, oh Lord, I see it now like I could never see it before. Oh God, I can now speak with the tongue of the learned. I once heard of a young girl and her dad, and they'd just left the funeral of his wife, her mother. Went back to that house at night. And that little girl said to her daddy, she said, Dad, she says, okay if I just it's okay if I just sleep with you in your room tonight. And he sure didn't want to stay by himself that night in that big old house. He said, yeah, that'd be good.
He turned off all those lights. And but a minute later, she said to him, she said, "Dad." She said, "Dad, it sure is dark in here, Dad." Said, "Dad, it is so dark in here. Dad, I've never seen it as dark before." And she said, "Daddy, is your face toward me? Dad, is your face toward me?" And he said, "Yeah, my face is toward you." And with that, she drifted off to sleep. And when she did, he softly got up out of that bed and went to that living room and got down on that knee, lifted his head toward heaven and began to pray. And he said, "Father, Father, it's dark in here. Father, it is so dark in here. Father, I've never seen it this dark before." And he said, "Father, is your face toward me? Is your face toward me?" I feel like telling somebody tonight, his face is still toward you. I know it's dark. I know it's dark. But his face is still toward thee. Stand with me all over this house, please.